I want you to go to the book of Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Book of Matthew chapter 11. My throat is, I don't know what's wrong with it. Wet it down a little bit. Chapter 11, go right at the end of the chapter if you would with me, please. Very familiar verses. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, today we thank you so much for the privilege to sing praises to you. Lord, thank you for those blessed songs that bless our hearts over and over. Thank you for the fellowship that you give us that refreshes our soul day after day. Thank you for friends who lift us up and seek to see the very best in our lives. Thank you for your word, its power in our lives, for its truth. And oh God, today I pray for the leadership, the anointing of the Spirit of God in these moments. We ask that you would be glorified by all that is said and done. I ask, oh God, that every heart might be attentive to your voice, to the Spirit of God, and allow you that access to their soul. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On this weekend, we celebrate labor. Most take the day off from the burdens that we bear. And it's a time that we can stop and reflect upon labor itself. I believe we always need to remember that God established us with work that would actually be our pleasure. Think about it for a moment. God labored for 6 days in creation, and then he took one day to reflect upon all, and he called it very good. And God has instilled into us this tremendous desire to work. Now, I know there's a few that don't want to, but they miss out on what God has for them. One of the things I've noticed is the works of God are just everywhere. Everywhere. In Psalm 19, verse 1 expresses so well, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." He says, all you got to do is look at the sky, look at all the heavens. And then he says, look out across this earth. And he says, that shows my handiwork, that which God made. You know, when you go to the book of Proverbs, you find it is replete with verses that, verse after verse, really, that concern this thing of work. I've pulled four out of these that I'd like to share with you at this moment. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent," that's the person who's willing to work, "shall be made fat." In other words, the lazy person gets nothing, and the industrious person, they get everything. Some people say, well, why do some people so lucky? Perhaps because they're working and the others aren't. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." God wants to bless work. Chapter 13, again, verse 23 says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment." And even if we're poor, we can find ourselves going forward if we're willing to work. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor," he didn't say some, "in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." God made us a people to work. We are made in the image of God. And what do we find of that image from the very first chapter onward? God is one who works. He's one who does things. Now, sometimes you and I, as we are laboring, we're bearing our burdens, we find that they are greater than we can bear. Yet God, in all of His wisdom, uses those burdens in our lives, those matters of work, to teach us some valuable truth that will set our minds free. He says, "You shall know the truth, and you shall what? Be set free." What's He mean? We'll be at ease. God wants to teach us some valuable lessons. I read the story about a woman years ago. She was traveling with her little baby. They were in a stagecoach in western Montana. The weather was very bitter, and it was just cold as all get out. And in spite of all that the driver did to try to protect her, he saw that the mother, she was becoming unconscious from the cold that was sweeping around about them. So he stopped the coach. He took the baby and wrapped it up very warmly and put it under the seat. Then he seized the mother by the arm and drug her out into the ground, drove away, leaving her by the road. As she saw them drive away, she ran after him, crying piteously for her baby. I mean, can you only imagine? When he felt sure that she was warm, he allowed her to overtake the coach and resume her place by her baby. Can we imagine really the gratitude when she realized what he had done to actually save her life? You know, God sometimes has to shake us out of our soul lethargy and our moral sleep, which would end in death. God wants to understand that labor is something that is tremendous. It's a privilege. We ought to thank God for it. Sometimes God's like the stagecoach driver, isn't He? He will allow things to enter into our lives that will seemingly devastate us. But He does it to grow us and to teach us. We all know that trials and troubles are part and parcel of human life. I believe Job said it. Jesus did it. That is, undertake and allow God to have those burdens. Burdens, troubles, trials, difficulties, they're going to come our way. Everywhere we turn, we're going to have these kinds of things. It's a given. There was a fellow by the name of Felix Neff, and he said this, I quote, "A Christian without affliction is like a soldier only on parade." Did you catch what he's saying? A Christian without affliction is like a soldier only on parade. End of the quote. And God has some wonderful things in this thing of labor. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Take your burdens and take them to the right place. Let me share with you some things that will not help. Fretting will not help. Do you know that most people take their burdens here? That's the wrong place to go. After all, the Bible tells us that we should not worry. I mean, there are times God says, "Fret not." I like the way Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't sweat it. "In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." We're so prone to worry. You know, lots of people are just like Martha. She was so worried that Mary wasn't helping. And Jesus said, well, she's found that good thing. And we need to learn something. Fretting is not going to help us. How many problems has worry solved for you? I believe I could probably share with you some things that worry has done against you. When I was a little boy and growing up and going to school, I used to worry about everything in school. Now, I was a fairly decent student, but I would worry about tests. I'd worry about this. I'd worry about that. And honestly, day after day I'd go to school, my belly would be in knots because I was worried about something coming up. You know, it never did a bit of good but give me a bellyache. It's of no value. And so fretting is not going to help us. Let me share with you something else. Friends won't help you. Oh, on some occasions. But Job tried to tell his friends about his burdens, and you know what he described them as? Physicians of no value. The problem with friends often is they will lie to you. They will allow you to wallow in self-pity and tell you that you have a right to do so. They may probably sympathize with you. But when it comes to the real burdens of life, many times because of that, they are not helping you. Do you know what a real friend is? It's someone who tells you the truth, even when it rips your heart out. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." So many times friends won't help us. Where are we supposed to take them? We're taking them to the right place. Well, running from them won't help either. Fleeing will not help you. You'll never be able to run away from the problems and trials of life. I know of many people, they see something on the horizon, and what do? They run from it rather than facing it. And it never helps. Fighting won't help you either. I mean, when you try to fight it yourself, listen, it's not going to happen. And oftentimes it ends up being fighting against the Lord and what He wants in our lives. If we aren't careful, it's like us getting on a bicycle with another adult, and one's pedaling one direction, one's going the other way. Seriously. And fighting's not going to help. Now, I know the Bible says fight the good fight of faith, but that's a little bit different scenario than what we're referring to here. Because you and I have burdens, and because we have these things, to fight over those is not going to be of help. But I'll tell you, we'll help you. That's the Father. What did He say in verse number 28? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." The Lord opens the throne room of grace to you and I, invites us to come in and get the help that we need in the time of need, really. Thank God for that. So you and I, we need to understand today, we need to take our burdens to the right place. We also need to transfer our burdens to the right person. There is one who cares about your situation. He careth for you, 1 John 5:7 says. I want you to think about for a moment. Jesus walked through loneliness. Jesus walked in need. Jesus walked through difficulties and, yea, even death. He's been hated. He's been loved. He's been accepted. He's been rejected. He knows what you are going through, and He cares for you. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." What's He telling us? We can touch the heart of God. We need to transfer our burdens to Him. Now, work is honorable, but there are burdens that you and I carry that we cannot carry it, burdens that get us down, and we need to take them to the right place. We need to take them to the right person. There is one who can do something about your situation. Not only does He know what we face, He can change what we face and how we face it. Consider this. God placed the stars in heaven with the spreading of His fingers. And if He can do that, then your problems and mine don't cause Him any problem. Is there anything that you have that God can't take care of? I think not. What's our problem? We want to fret over it. We want to take our burdens to the wrong place rather than to God Himself. Rather than the Father, we go to friends. Rather than God, we will flee from it. Rather than God, we will fight against Him even. And we need to transfer those burdens to the right place. But here's what I want us to really look at this morning. Trust your burdens to the right provisions. I want to share with you three things here. Trust your burdens to the right provisions. How's God going to work in your life? Sometimes. I don't say all the time, because He works differently in different areas. Sometimes He will remove your burden. He takes it completely away. Sometimes He does that. Sometimes He changes your situation in an instant, and it's gone. I remember I was in Bible college, and I worked for Pontiac Motors then, and we had really good health insurance, but we didn't have any dental insurance. I was paying tuition for going to school full time. I've practiced tithing all of my life. I mean, our money was tied up. We had two children. We were paying house rent. I was paying, I was going to say car rent. Listen, you get it paid for, and what happens? You still keep paying for it in repairs. And so I had all these expenses, and I got myself a king-size toothache. And I said, Lord, I don't even know what dentist to go to. I don't know what's wrong, but would you heal it? I woke up next morning, I didn't have a toothache for 10 years. You say, oh, it was just in your mind. No, it was a little lower than my mind. It was in my jaw. And it hurt horribly. Can God take care of things instantly? Yes, He can. Can those burdens be taken off you instantly? Yes, they can. And sometimes He will do that. But understand something else. Sometimes He will not remove them, but He will relieve you. He will relieve you. And what I mean by that is there are times that He will take some of that burden upon Him and give us that rest. He will lighten it a little bit for us. I think about Ruth and the situation she was in. And as she goes back to her hometown and back to what they had left and how God had allowed her to cross path with Boaz and thus to bring about some relief to the burden that she was bearing. I think about especially in that first meeting as she was there behind them, the reapers, and as she was seeking to gather up that which they left to take home. And He told His workers, drop a little bit on the ground on purpose for her, that she might pick them up and make it a little easier for her. You see, sometimes God will relieve that burden and make it less than it was. Sometimes He takes it completely away. Sometimes He just lightens it so we can say, hey, I can do this now. And then there are times that God doesn't take it away from us. He will rest us in our burden. I believe this is the most common way that God aids us. In other words, God gives us grace to carry the load that has been assigned to us. I had a guy one time in our church. He's with the Lord now. He says, I just can't take anymore. I said, if God gives it to you, you can, because He's got grace to take care of it. In His flesh, no, He could not. But taking it to the right place, yes, because the grace of God abounds. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 9 says, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, stop and think for a moment. How many believe John 3:16? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You believe that? Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of those verses say, and many like it, they're saying, if you and I will believe in Christ and what He done for us on the cross of Calvary, our soul can be saved from hell. Say, you don't have to work for it? No. What in the world can you do to save your soul? Nothing. How can you wipe away all of your sins? There's no way. But you can trust Him to do it for you. Okay? And we believe that verse. We like that verse. And we come to those kinds of things. We look at those promises. We say, thank God for it. We thank God that there's no way that He's going to depart from us. But think about it for a moment. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Is that as true as John 3:16? Is that as real as that is? My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God used a man by the name of Paul. He inspired him to write these. These are God's word, but he used this man. And I believe he used this man because God put him through some things. Paul said he couldn't talk very well. He talked about the elegant speech of Apollos. And evidently he was rather crude in his remarks. We call him the greatest preacher, but I imagine if he stood here today, we might not think of him as the greatest preacher. And he may have come across a little abruptly and a little, you know, a little harshly at times. I do not know. The Apostle Paul, every time he got to a town, I believe when he walked into town, he looked to see where he's going to stay that night because it had bars on the windows. He was going to jail. Now think about this moment. Paul has a vision. And in that vision, Paul was going to go east with the gospel, and God said, no, I want you to go west. And we find that he ended up in a town called Philippi. Paul wants to go east with the gospel. God says, no, I want you to go west. I want you to go over to Macedonia. And the town he comes to is Philippi. Do you remember what happened at Philippi? They put him in jail. Remember the story? He's in stocks. He's in jail. He's had stripes laid upon. In other words, they whipped him. At midnight, the Bible says he and Silas began to sing praises to God. Now, who in their right mind in jail is going to sing to God? Well, Christians are not always thought of as being in their right mind. And what did God do? God brought an earthquake. I mean, can you imagine? Here you are in jail now, an earthquake. You're stuck in these stocks. But God in that earthquake loosed those bonds, broke open the doors, and somehow those men that were in the jail, along with Paul and Silas, did not leave. There's a man, we call him the Philippian jailer. He came rushing in, and you know what he said? He fell down at their feet, and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I mean, think about that. This is the guy that said, my grace is sufficient. This is the guy who's sitting in jail with stripes and no doubt bleeding. And yet this is the guy who, understanding the marvelous being of God, sings praises to God, and his grace does sustain him, and his grace does take him through. Sometimes he will remove your burden. Sometimes he will relieve it to some degree. But I have found most times he gives me grace to go through it, that I might understand his grace is sufficient, that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said this, it amazes me, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'd rather sit in jail with bonds. I'd rather have my back beaten and realize God's going to take me through this thing. And his grace is going to sustain me. What do we do with our problems? We too often worry about them, don't we? Rather take to the right person, we'll take it to friends. Sometimes we even fight against God and what he wants us to do. And God just wants us to trust him. Take him to the right person and allow him to do it the way he wants to do it. He might not take it away. He may take it away. He might not relieve it, but He may relieve it. And if He takes you through it, He will take you through it. Rest in that. Come in Me, all ye that labor and what? I will give you rest. Labor is worthy. And labor brings us to that point of rest. There are things that we bear our burdens with, but God wants us to have the rest at the end of that. I think of times of removal that God has done for me. I've had the sin of my life upon my shoulders. And yet when I prayed and asked God to forgive me, He didn't make me keep on bearing them. He took them away. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. They're under the deepest sea. God said, I read it just this week, they're behind His back. My sins are gone in the eyes of God. I've had times of relief. I think about the many things I've felt guilt over. You ever feel guilt? You did something wrong. Matter of fact, you ask God to forgive you and you still feel guilty. Who is doing that for you? It's not God. Because He said He'd forgive you, did He not? We confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that what 1 John 1:9 says? And so when we feel guilt, it's not from God. That's Satan remind us of what we did. And what do we need to do? Realize He's taken that burden. He's relieved us of that. And He will give you the relief of your soul. Sometimes He'll rest in your burden. We have all kinds of life situations that God takes us through. It's been 11 months ago. My wife, Sharkle, began to act up again. It was about January, maybe it was February, the specialist we were with, actually it was in December, he retired, and the new one that she had says, why don't you think about cutting it off? It'd be a whole lot simpler. Simpler for him, but not for her. God in His marvelous grace showed to her another doctor. Every time I see him, I thank God. Amen. Friday we were there and he walks in, he's got this big smile on his face, he's looking at that and he says, man, he wasn't too sure himself when he first saw her. But all the wound is healed up. I saw the x-ray the other day, she got a rod that goes up her leg. There's a big old pin that starts from the back of the heel and goes forward a little ways. And he said to her this, in 2 more weeks you can start walking on it. It's been 11 months. But God's grace is sufficient. Huh? Sufficient. Let me take you one more step on this. One of the best friends I ever had was Gene Kimmel. I'm 6'6". Gene Kimmel was 6'6", too. We actually went into a store one day. It was at an ice cream store. Actually, the old Goodrich used to be up here where Centra's at. And the lady waited on us, and he said to her, he said, you know we're twins? I said, nah. He said, yeah, we're twins. So how can that be? He's so, and you're so. And he said to her, he said, "We were both the same when we were little, but I sat on him and he squirted out both ends." And you know what she said? "Really?" Brethren, they live amongst us. Brother Kimmel went home to be with the Lord. What's it been, about 10 years ago? And would you believe when he died, he weighed less than me? Yeah. And probably 30 pounds of his weight was skin. But what a blessing it was in my life. Do you know that his goal was every week to give $200 and some, the number of nations in the world, to missions? $1 for each nation. Do you know when he died, his wife kept giving what they were giving and has increased it since then? And she's on a pension. He said to me one day, he said this, he says, "You know, we pray for people to get healed, when the greatest healing for a Christian is when they're taken in the presence of God." He says, "Because whatever God heals us over here, we're going to get it back one of these days. But we get there, it's gone forever." Wow. What does grace do? It gets us through until that forever. My grace is sufficient. Whatever it is you're facing, he will take you through it. He will do it. What I have waiting for me, I have no idea. No idea. I don't know. What kind of things are burdens that God's going to place on me? I don't know. I don't know. But this I do know: his grace is sufficient. I'm scared to preach a message like that because God makes sure that I understand it the following week. But his grace is sufficient. Amen. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. First of all, you need to come to him for salvation. You need that. Secondly, God's people need to come to him with all their burdens to take them everywhere else. Yeah, instead of everywhere else. And by the way, Christian, if a friend brings a burden to you, that doesn't mean that you're to take it to everybody else. We call that gossip. Let's take it to him, the right person, and his grace sufficient. Whew. I think I've camped there a little while, and I like camped there just a little longer, but some of you are hungry. And if I don't close, you're thinking the grace of God will never fill your tummy. But it's amazing what he can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the marvelous privilege to be a part of your family. Thank you for that day that you allowed me to call upon you for salvation. Lord, you said to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. We have problems and burdens and all these things. And oftentimes we complain and we gripe, and rather than counting it joy because we've laid it at your feet and expecting your grace. God, forgive us. Teach us to come to you first, that we might find our need met in you. Bless and work in our hearts and lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.